Agency owners, it's time for a new episode of the Agency Blueprint, the number one podcast for agency owners looking to build systems to simplify and gain reliable profit growth, while also reducing stress and getting their personal life back. I'm your host, Robert Patton, international bestselling author, agency scale partner, and founder of Creative Agency Success. If you enjoy this episode, do me a favor and hit that subscribe button to make sure that you never miss an episode and help keep the show at the top of the charts so it can be found by more agency owners like you. And now for the show. Hey everyone, today we are joined by Will Christensen. Will's the founder of Entrepreneur's Apprentice and the co-founder of Data Automation. He is known for his Automate, Delegate, Eliminate framework and unique 15-1-1-5 rule, which identifies key tasks to automate or delegate. He is a Zapier certified expert with deep expertise in workflow optimization. Welcome to the show, Will.
Hey, thanks. It's good to be here. I need to add to my intro. I'm an OG Zapier certified expert. I actually applied to be on the Zapier team to be employee number 7. That's how cool I thought I was. And Wade politely told me I didn't have enough coding experience to be on the Zapier team at that time because everybody was a coder. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I've taught myself a lot of Visual Basic and I can automate all sorts of stuff in Excel. And he was like, not quite enough. And so like that was my beginnings of my journey in automation and, you know, since started another company. And about 5 or 6 years later, they offered me a job and I was like, it's too late. I've already started some automation stuff and we're actually working together and I'm helping lots of your clients. But I was like the first Zapier certified expert to show up to one of their conferences. Mm. And I felt like I was on an exhibit, like they were coming up and like poking me like, is that a real Zapier certified expert? Like, and I met like 400 of their employees at that point and met Wade in person. I love that company. They are such an amazing group. And Wade is an amazing individual. I'm still trying to get him to go to lunch with me. I've got his cell phone. I text him every once in a while to ask him to go, but haven't had the opportunity to sit down for lunch since we got that first chat in a couple years ago.
That's awesome. I'm sure he's a busy guy as well. Well,
very, very busy.
You know, in the pre-recording, we were talking quite a lot of how to go about even just identifying things. But the thing that we were chatting about is that a lot of creative agency owners often struggle with this kind of idea of balancing the creativity piece and then the structural component, is that a lot of creatives don't enjoy the idea of structure in the first place. And so what are kind of the biggest mistakes that you see creatives or business owners make when trying to grow their business or trying to scale?
So the number one mistake I've found is not choosing a niche. And you'd think like, well, that's not really an automation tactic. Oh yeah, it is. Because when you build a business, you're trying, and my grandfather, multimillionaire, he literally taught himself how to build a duplex, like by watching other people, like they were building duplexes over on the other side and he would go watch them. And then he would go back and do the things that they were doing and stay up all night kind of thing. Like to hear his story, like he literally built a duplex without knowing how to do any of it just by watching and being charismatic enough to have the guys on the other job teach him how to do what he did. So like, this comes naturally to some degree or another because it's in my blood, but he told me, entrepreneurship is a black box. You have to create a box where you put input in and it prints money on the other side. Mm. And the goal is you didn't have to do anything to make it print that money. That's a business. And I was like, that sounds really so creative. That sounds really inorganic, Grandpa. I really do not like that idea of not having any human element. It like where's the creativity? Where's the... I was like, the more I dug into it, the more I realized that my biggest enemy was my creativity when it was going outside of my niche. Because a new client would come to me and he would say, hey, can you do XYZ thing that doesn't exactly fit my wheelhouse, but kind of fits my wheelhouse? And my creative brain was like, oh, yes, 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 yes. And if I didn't intentionally give myself room to say, I will do one creative project every quarter or every month, then I would do all the creative projects. And all of a sudden, I was creating a real headache for myself. And so I got to a place where I had done so many creative products and projects inside my agency that I literally had to put a stop to all of it. I said, if it is not this ICP, and not just this ICP, because I was finding plenty of creative projects that were coming out of my ICP that weren't the ones that we were solving best. Mm-hmm. I looked at what was making 80% of my revenue, and I eliminated the 80% of the work that wasn't producing 80% of the revenue. Yep. And when I did that, the system started to begin to flow. We started to see like, oh, there's a pattern here. Well, duh, there's a pattern. You're doing the same thing over and over again. Well, guess what? When you do a whole bunch of creative projects in all of these different areas that are just kind of in your wheelhouse, but not having to figure it out again, well, that's the creative process that you like. So my number one piece of advice, find an integrator as fast as freaking possible. What I mean by integrator is somebody who is process-driven, who likes to check boxes.
That really makes them thrive, and that it just really gets them out of bed. I was not expecting that as a response, to be honest, considering that we're here about automation, but I thoroughly agree with you in that it's impossible to automate when everything is different. You have no way of being able to create a flow.
So that's a core tenant.
Yeah.
A core tenant of automation. So we have a 15-1-1-5 rule that you mentioned. This is a great segue into that. 15-1-1-5 is more than 15 minutes a day, more than an hour a week, or more than an hour a month. That's the 15-1-1. Mm-hmm. So get out a sticky note, write 15-1-1 across the top, then add a dash 5. Don't automate, delegate, or eliminate until you have done it 5 times manually. Now, if you're doing a whole bunch of crazy random projects all over the place, how fast is that 15-1-1-5 list going to go? It's going to take forever to get 5 times manually because guess what? You're doing something different every freaking time. So you might as well not automate because you're not at that rate. You should be charging triple what you're currently charging. And then you might have a business because you're a boutique. Like we do something custom every time. That's a business you could build, but you're going to have to figure out a way to sell it at 3x the premium because you're so creative and you're handling the biggest challenges that just don't show up for these niche companies. But even that's a niche, right? Like you've got to niche down. Riches in the niches.
The interesting thing that highlighted one of the things that you're saying right now that just sparked an idea in my head is like this idea that entrepreneurs really were a bit of adrenaline junkies.
Oh my gosh.
And then creatives are essentially the same thing too, right? So creative agency owners are just like duplicative of that adrenaline junkie of new, novel, fun things that are mentally stimulating, which is a massive crux of being able to grow a business in a sustainable, scalable fashion.
So hilariously, you talk about adrenaline junkies. I play Call of Duty often, and I got some friends that I've met online. I even started a little community of chill guys who play Call of Duty. So if you're looking, reach out. Many of them are business owners. So like I can cooperate with gaming data. Like adrenaline junkie is a real thing around that. And I think the new and the novel, the shiny, I have ADHD. So it's not just part of my nature as an entrepreneur. It's part of my mental capacity.
Yes.
And I flipping love the new. Mm. But I've learned that I've had to tell my brain, if we do it new all the time, we don't get to do any more new. Because we don't have a job and we don't have a business. And we don't like all of it falls apart. So you can go work for a company, but I found that most companies don't want you to, guess what? It's a black box. They want you to do the same thing over and over again. They want you to follow a system or a process. So the entrepreneur job is that job that will give you that, but you have to temper your adrenaline junkiness to the point where you're like, okay, no, we are going to say no to that business, which is freaking hard to do, by the way, especially when you look at like a mortgage. And it's like, the mortgage is $5,000 a month and we've only brought in $2,000 this month and I've only got $15,000 in the bank. This only lasts for 6 more months and then I got to start firing people. And like, that is such a normal thing, especially when you're starting out to like decide, how am I going to balance? Because if some guy walks across my table and says, I'll pay you $5,000 to do XYZ thing that's not quite in your wheelhouse, but I'm going to give a tactic for how to get around that. What I usually do when they brought me that, I'm like, oh, that kind of feels like it's outside. It's got some discovery work. I'm looking at what's there. I would charge him a project deposit. And I would say, okay, here's the deal. I think this is going to cost somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000. I don't know what it's actually going to cost. That's because I haven't asked you the 1,000 questions I need to ask in order to scope this properly. What we're going to do is we're going to build you a blueprint for exactly what this $5,000 project needs to be, or $20,000 or $100,000, doesn't matter the number. And I'm going to charge you 10% of what I think the max is, $10,000. I'm going to charge you $1,000 and you're going to walk away with a blueprint that tells you exactly So you could go take this blueprint, throw it on Upwork and find an Upwork developer to do it for a third of what I'm going to charge you. Okay. If you do that, that's fine. Or we're going to get in here deeper. And I'm going to show you all the things that are there. And at the end of that scope, I reserve the right to say, you need to go find another developer, but here's your blueprint.
Yep.
And so my project deposit, and I said, if you decide to go with me, that $1,000 goes against your project. It's not going to cost anything extra. But if you decide not to go with me, it's $1,000 and you walk away with the blueprint. And I found when I positioned myself as a guide, as someone who could help them blueprint or template, they were like, oh, okay. And that way I didn't have to say no to those guys, because I hate saying no to people. I really need to do better at saying no. I'm learning the hard way. Like, that's the eliminate part of my framework. Mm-hmm. I am deep eliminate part of my life right now. It's interesting because my whole life has kind of followed automate, delegate, eliminate, and I've become a master at automation and a master at delegation. And I'm currently going through the painful experience of being a master at elimination. And so once I finish my process, I'll be writing a book to look at it. And I feel like that's kind of my calling, is like, go master these three elements, then go write a book. But I guess that's what I'm saying is, you don't have to say no to them, because you can say, you know what, I'll do this, but here's how we're going to do it. And then you've only spent the, and how much does your creative brain get off on that? Oh, the discovery part, it is such a good taste. But then have somebody in the organization, or put on the other hat, take your creative hat on off after you've done the discovery, look at the scope and say, is this really our wheelhouse?
Yep.
How often are we seeing these problems come up for our other customers?
And is this a useful tool or piece of knowledge for us to be able to translate into what it is that we are doing?
Exactly. Yeah. Does doing this project make me 10%, 5%, 1% better for all the rest of my projects? If the answer is maybe, you probably shouldn't be doing that project.
Yeah.
It should be a hell yes or a hell no. So that's probably the most effective way I've found to let go of the riches and the niches problem and create a business that actually is automatable.
There's an interesting piece that, true to the entrepreneur adrenaline junkie, I'm the same. The component is like the moment that I don't have something novel, or like I start to get bored, is when I just try to reinvent everything. And the item that I found particularly useful for me, at least, and hopefully this is useful for those of you listening as well, is actually finding novel within what it is that you're currently doing, and actually looking to reinvent within what it is that you're currently doing. And so you can find, and it's true, the true creative of being needing to be creative within the black box that you're describing is really hard, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you simplify what it is that you're doing? But if you're able to do that, that's where the true money really is, is being better at the thing that everyone else is actually realistically doing within their businesses and offering it. But if you're able to do it better, you now have a differentiator.
You nailed it. So it's about feeding that addict just enough that they don't go crazy, and then teaching that addict how to use its superpower of ingenuity and creation inside the realm of creating a system around that really boring thing. Like you look at like XYZ boring task that made it to your 15115 list. Every time you do it manually, you're going to be cussing me out and probably flipping me off in your head. Like, seriously, dude, I'm doing this manually again. I just want to automate it. I get it. Automation is shiny. Do it 5 times manually, finish it out. And then what you're telling your brain when you get in that moment is, hold on, I just need to do it 2 more times manually. And then we get to do the creative thing of making it so we never have to do this again. Or I systemize it to the point where I've got an SOP around it and I delegate it off my plate. So I no longer have to do it again. Buy back your time, man. Like that's, if you can let go of that and begin to focus that creativity inward, it's the first step towards your automation journey.
Well, there's a couple of things that I think is very interesting that we run into quite a lot when it comes to the creative archetype, right? The creative director or the designer that then kind of accidentally ended up as a business owner, really, that they had a couple of projects and then, you know, they got a couple more and then now they needed to hire someone and now they've got 5 employees and they're like, okay, I have a business and now I have to be a business owner. But they fight this idea of the rigidity of a business, really, right? Like, they don't like to have systems because of the fact that they like to feel the freedom.
They like to flow. They like to walk into work and not know exactly what they're going to work on because, man, what's the world hold today?
I'm that causes me a load of anxiety because I'm a very different person. I'm not, not the creative.
Interesting.
But what are your kind of thoughts around this? Because I actually see that systems, and when you think about the creative kind of workflow, really, that I see it creating for more ability to be creative when being more purposeful with your time, because you have the freedom to actually be creative. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's like I was just saying, look, if you want to be that creative, you want to connect those dots in that way. The only way you get to do more of that is by saying no to the shiny object right now. So true freedom is creating enough of a black box that it creates a lifestyle for you where you get to do as much of that as you want. That's true freedom. And I've actually found that once I've mastered the self-discipline of saying no, because I'm actually, I said I'm not good at saying no. I'm really good at saying no when it comes to my niche. So I run a company called Entrepreneur's Apprentice. We help business owners clone themselves. And we do that by giving them a physical clone, a human being who's a young entrepreneur, who's going to become a second set of hands in the business that cares about it as much as they do. Think CEO level grit, VA level humility. That's what I figured out. I have a machine that finds people in that line. Well, multiple times inside this business, we've thought, well, what if we went after like end of life or middle of life crisis, people who were in their careers and wanted to become entrepreneurs, and we had them become apprentices? That was a shiny idea. We learned pretty quickly, nope, we're just sticking to our model of young entrepreneurs. And guess what? It's working. And in fact, that machine is working so well, I'm having a hard time keeping up with it on the sales side of the business. Like, we have that many entrepreneurs knocking on the door from the young and the old, and we're pairing them up. And then we're teaching them digital operations so that they can clone themselves digitally with AI. So like, there are so many shiny avenues that I could go down, but I'm really good at saying, yeah, you're not my client.
You brought up something that I think that is, especially with the kind of AI revolution, if you will. Technology is just consistently ever evolving and like just evolving so fast that sometimes
accelerating.
And it's so hard to keep up with, right? And like, I'm a total tech nerd, as we were talking about before recording, and I enjoy the hell out of it and will read on my spare time and I just get excitement out of it. But for those that are not that person, it's so hard to keep up with, and I can't keep up with it even though I enjoy it a lot. What is your kind of recommendation of like, how do you even stay up with the trends of what's going on and even understanding what is possible
for them? Think it's about finding content creators. So I find that there are a couple of different content creators who are finding things before I find them, and content places, right? So Product Hunt is an amazing place to find new stuff, but it's also the biggest rabbit hole of all time. AppSumo is another rabbit hole of all. I can't tell you the number of things I've bought on AppSumo that I'm not using now. I've got several that I am using, but AppSumo is such a cool place to find new applications and connect those different dots. If you're overwhelmed, I would say it's about finding a content creator. So if you're a solo to mid-sized business and you're looking to find automation or AI, that's actually what Automation Hunter is all about. So I go consume from the masses and look on Product Hunt and all of those different things. And I do like demo days where I take a product that I actually think is going to make an impact in a solopreneur or a medium-sized business's life, and I go demo it, and I do like a reaction video on the demo. I start freaking out about all the cool things that are in there. Like, I just, and the funny thing is, I had a guy who had him on the podcast, and at the end of the podcast, I said, I need to sign up for this. Like, I am signing up for this right now. And we're a customer of With Moxie, which is a really cool platform that does CRM, and it's got proposals built in and some really amazing things, even a calendar scheduler. Like, it's trying to be the platform for solopreneurs and freelancers to kind of connect those dots. I was so impressed with the demo, I literally signed up for it right after we got done. And those are the ones where I share that with the community and let them know, like, hey, so automationhunter.com, that would probably be my first. I mean, there's some bias there, right? automationhunter.com. But every time I find a hack, so a decent example of this, if you're on Zoom calls like all the rest of us, and you're on Zoom a lot.
I'm kidding.
If you're on Zoom calls, and this actually exists with not just Zoom, so it's a good feature to understand for any meeting. If you're signed in on your phone and on your computer with the same account on Zoom, you can click a button on your phone when you're on a Zoom call that says switch, and it will seamlessly take your audio and video from your computer down to your phone. Boom. So there's none of that like screechy two microphones in the same room that we've all experienced so many times. None of that, because you hit
Twitch. PTSD from that sound.
It takes off this one and puts it on there. And if you want to go back to your computer, inside the Zoom app, there's another button that says switch. That hack I shared with a professional. He's a published author. His book is inside the Library of Congress, like the archives, like published author, really sharp dude, been using Zoom for many, many years, had no clue that this was a thing. And I showed it to him yesterday and he started flipping out. That's on my YouTube channel. I published that 2 or 3 months ago. Yep. So like, or more. And it's been a feature for over a year, but that's how I'm constantly hunting for those different items and trying to share them with people to connect those different dots.
I mean, what you're saying, I think, is an interesting concept, and it's true to kind of how I see my own life and how I invest myself, really, in that there's a friend and colleague of mine did an episode on his podcast where he was talking about this idea of an unlimited budget that I think like really articulated this in a meaningful way. But essentially, it's that the number one thing that you can be doing is investing into yourself. And let's say that I need to become a master at something else, and I don't have 10,000 hours to become a master in something. Like I just do not have that availability in my life, and taking away from my friends and family and all of that, I just don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But I can go buy a skill from someone else that has spent the 10,000 hours and let me go do that, whether that is a content creator, whether I'm going to pay to be able to obtain that knowledge, whether I'm going to go read a book to be able to do so. There's so many different mechanisms in the modern world to be able to do that. And how is it that you're investing in yourself so that you can be doing that? The question that I want to kind of wrap up the episode today is, in a world where an agency owner is feeling just incredibly overwhelmed, they have taken on all the projects that they probably shouldn't have. They have the core set, the 80 for the 20 rule, really. They have so many ideas of things that they could be doing and how they could be automating or systemizing their business, but they're in a place where they have no time. And they don't know where they should start and how do they make incremental movements, just even a step in the right direction. What would your advice be to that person?
Two things. One, does this individual have a counterpart who is in charge of either sales or our fulfillment?
Generally, no.
Okay. So if you do not have a counterpart who is in charge of sales or fulfillment, so that can be a human being transition. So sales to fulfillment, fulfillment to sales. If you do not have a human being there, that is your first step. Because, and they're like, I can't hire anybody. I can't afford them. That's because your projects aren't profitable enough. So you got to go fire some clients and start selling the right thing. Like, that's painful to hear, but that's where you're at, man.
The amount of times I've gotten the like look of Robert, you're insane with that advice of no, you need to go eliminate this business because it just doesn't make you any money. But I agree with you.
So the second thing, and I'm not sure whether I would do one or the other first. The second thing I would do is find mentorship through a mastermind or through an actual mentor. And that might be the first thing that I do, because if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, that might be me, but I really, those guys are up in the night. I don't really. That's normal. It's normal that you're thinking that right now. I'm not sure these guys actually know what they're talking about, or this doesn't apply to me because of X, Y, and Z. Like, normal.
I'm unique.
Oh my gosh. I'm unique. I thought that about myself and then I learned better. And I'm trying to beg you to recognize you are not unique. And guess what? There are people out there who are doing what you're doing right now. And there are free communities that you can join and free mastermind groups that you can join. And even if you just start a freaking mastermind, like start a group weekly call with seven other business owners and just get on and shoot the crap and figure out where you're going to go next. That mentorship and accountability changed the game for my agency, because I would talk about pricing problems and they were like, oh, I've had pricing problems. And they would tell me how they solved it. And it was like, oh my gosh, I never would have thought of that. And so we shifted our processes around that. So one of the two would be my first pieces of advice. Get sales or fulfillment off of your plate. And guess what? It might be that you still sell it, but you have a BDR. Somebody who's who's connecting those dots. By the way, an apprentice, anybody who's facing this challenge, I will give them a free 15-minute audit, and I'll pay them $50 if they don't walk away being like, oh my gosh, that was worth my 15 minutes. Like, that's how confident I am. In 15 minutes, I can audit your business and give you guys, like, come on board. The worst case scenario is you're going to get a $50 Amazon gift card. I've never had anybody take me on that offer because I can audit you and find out exactly what's going on inside where it is and show you new tools or new delegation tactics or different pieces for what's there. But that's what I would say is find a mentor and maybe even find somebody who says, hey, I'll give you 1% of the company if you'll meet with me once a month because you've built an agency before and it worked. Like, you know a guy who's a successful agency business owner. Guess what? That guy is looking to invest time into things that could grow. So make friends with him, go to lunch with him, and then invite him onto your board. Hey, I would be willing to give you profit sharing and 1% of the company in exchange for an hour a month. What do you think? You will be shocked how often you don't actually have to pay money to get a mentor.
I would say the thing that I find and the value that I have gotten out of community mastermind groups and online communities, things like that, is the predominant thing is not necessarily that I didn't know what I needed to do, but it's that little like kind of pieces that I didn't even see were a potential option in the direction that I was headed. It's like this little tiny grain of salt that expanded and grew into this own version for myself that I just took a little morsel, like just a little piece from what they said that just transformed me. And the amount that community can transform you, transform your business, make you a better partner, make you a better business owner, make you just a better human in general is paramount. I am a huge advocate for community and mastermind groups and all that.
It's funny because that piece of advice to go find someone to take over fulfillment or find somebody to take over sales, that was one of the pieces of advice I got out of my first mastermind. I was in there with a bunch of other people and they were like, hold on, Will, are you in charge of both sales and fulfillment? I was like, yeah, I run both departments. And they were like, that's got to stop now. I was like, what do you mean? And they were like, you got to elevate one of your project managers into becoming more of like a director manager, like somebody who directs the other people, and they're in charge of fulfillment and you're in charge of sales, or vice versa. Whichever role you want more, guess what? You get to pick. Like, you've got to let go. And that, it was a slap in the face. And I learned the hard way. I had to do that. I had to make it work.
I'm going to put an asterisk on what Will is suggesting here, though, is that if your agency is in a place that you don't actually know how to sell and you're selling different things every single time, trying to delegate sales is not going to work because you have to have like a regular system by which you're selling.
Yes, I could not agree more, Robert, with that statement, because that goes back to the beginning of our episode, riches in the niches. You've got to solve the sales problem to the point where you're like, crap, I have too much business coming in through the door and it's profitable. As long as I focus on it, now I can actually scale this and hire somebody else and buy back my time and connect those different dots. If you haven't figured that out, it's not even worth delegating. You can't go there.
Well, Will, I really enjoyed the episode today. In fact, I think we went in many different directions that I hadn't expected this episode to go, but I thoroughly enjoyed the chat today. Thank you for joining.
Yeah, glad to be here. And if you find listeners or they're wanting to dig deeper into some of the other automation pieces, I'm happy to come back.
And I'll make sure to include links to all of his contact information in the show notes, everybody.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Dan.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening in today. With all of the shifts in the industry, it is easy to feel overwhelmed or unsure of your next move. So I'm not here to try to sell you anything. I just want to give back and guide you through the uncertainty. Whether you're navigating new trends or just need some clarity, we're here to listen and offer advice. Head to creativeagencysuccess.com/chat to book a free 15-minute chat with an agency mentor who can provide you with a fresh perspective. Let's figure out the best steps for your agency's growth together.